The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello and welcome to MotoGP OD, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. My name is Jim Race. Today is Friday, May 20th, and we're kind of once again flying by wire here, if you will. It's been a long, long week. Jules and I spent last weekend at Infineon Raceway in Northern California, watching the AMA and TTX GP series, and that was a whole bunch of fun. We put a whole bunch of stuff up on Facebook, and if you don't know MotoGP OD on Facebook, well, you should. And then on top of that, of course, last week was the Kyalami races, which I'm going to be perfectly honest, I missed pretty much everything. I know the results of all of it, but I'm not going to sit down here with you and kind of pretend like I know everything that happened, because frankly, when I can't watch it live, and I haven't had the opportunity yet to watch the races back to back yet and front to back and be able to analyze them, I don't think it's fair to you, the listener. And so you all know the results. You can go to the various websites. Big congratulations to the winners and Fabrizio race one, Leon Haslam race two, and of course Eugene Laverty on the bounce on the third race in World Supersport. So fantastic results, great there. What do we have coming up this weekend? We've got a great weekend of racing. We've got MotoGP at Le Mans. We have BSB at Cavill Park, and there's got to be something else going on somewhere, but my head is essentially spinning this week because I've been trying to put together so many different things together and pulling all sorts of disparate parts of interviews and stuff together, and there's so much that I want to bring you guys, and all at the same time I'm trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to get to Miller Motorsports Park next week. But in the meantime, I have at least a few interviews that I'm going to bring your way. The first up that I'll bring you very quickly, without going into any more rigmarole, except for one little bit, is an interview that I did this morning, which would be Thursday, with Randy DePugne and Lucio Ciacanella of Team LCR. And I thought that was pretty cool, and many, many thanks to Lisa from Team LCR Logistics and for helping put that together. Nice to be able to move into the GP paddock for MotoGP OD. At least, granted, it's our namesake, is it not? And keep away those naysayers that say we don't talk about MotoGP. And we're coming up on Le Mans this weekend, and it should be interesting because we're... In the past few years, we've looked at that track as sort of what has been considered of late a wet circuit at times, and it's produced some very strange results, or really abrasive, really bizarre, but you'll get a whole bunch of information out of both of these gentlemen. The track temperature today was 40 degrees centigrade, which is hot, and I can almost guarantee you that Bridgestone, based out of Japan, has not brought tires that are that hot. They are bringing the asymmetrical rears. That's great. But I think we're going to see some interesting tire quandaries this weekend. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the various teams are able to deal and manipulate with those, vagaries, because nothing's going to be what I think they thought it was going to be. And it should be fun. So, before I go into this interview, I will ask you, once again, in this minor plea, I need to get to Miller Motorsports Park next week. And so I'm going to reach out once again to the MotoGP OD community, and I don't need a lot, my friends. And I do have to thank a whole bunch of donors this last week, probably on top of the list. Once again, Alex Babarel, dude, you are the man. You have helped so much, and literally a premier sponsor of MotoGP OD. Whatever you can do to help out, this is all on the fly. We're not getting paid anything for this, and in fact, we're spending an awful lot of money putting it together that goes out of our pocket to do the show for you people out there in MotoGP OD land. But what does that mean? Well, that often means that we don't have the funds in our pocket to make it to races. I have a full press pass for this coming week, and I would hate it. I'll make it one way or another, but I'd rather be able to fly there rather than take the train or take a car and show up on Sunday morning. So if you can help using PayPal, you can send me me / MotoGPOD a donation at Cafe, CAFARACE, like Cafe Race, at WELL.com through PayPal. Penny, a dollar, a farthing, I don't care. Anything that would help, and it will help. And what I promise you is that next week we will have, except for those of you that don't like too much World Superbike content, but we'll have tons and tons of interviews because it's the first time at a World Superbike race that MotoGP OD has had full press access, which means hot pits, garages, front and back, and full access to the track. So send me there. Make sure I get there. Make sure I can come back and bring you everything that you guys deserve and everything that you guys want to hear. On to this interview, and then we will hopefully, if I can get it done, and boy, it's been really hard. I do want to bring in the Eskil Suter interview. I might just bring you part two, and if not, I might even put it off until next week. But regardless, I still want to bring you at least this part of the show because I think it's great. So let's roll on with some talk from Le Mans. Hello, this is Jim Reyes for MotoGP OD, and on the line with me I have Frenchman Randy Depounier of Team LCR in MotoGP. How are you, Randy?
Fine, thanks.
Excellent, and thank you for joining us. You're not a youngster by any means. You have been around the GP paddock since 1998, starting back on 125s, a relatively long time on 250s, and basically on the MotoGP bikes for the last 5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm here in GP since 12 years. It's a long, long time, but I feel young.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and you spent a fair amount of time. You've actually had 5 seasons total with Team LCR. You had, I guess, 2 in 2004 and 2005 on the 250s, and then back in MotoGP from 2008 to 2010. Yeah. In 2004, you had probably one of your best seasons, at least on the 250. You came in third on the year. And I was going to ask you, was that on a you were on the RSV 250, but was that on the RSA model, or was it a more of a kit model?
Yeah, I rode with Lucho. It's not 2004 and 5, it's 2003 and 4.
Okay, okay.
With the official Aprilia bike, and I did my best season with Lucho during this year. I won some races, I did many podiums. And I came back with Lucho in 2008 in MotoGP, and for me, it's very good because Lucho, the LCR team, is like a family for me. And I feel good in this team, and I hope to do a very good season this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. 2008, we do have to say, was a bit of a tough year, and that was your transition from the Kawasaki. You had a fair amount of crashes. Was some of that due to the differences between the Kawasaki and the Honda?
Yeah, the problem was not the difference between the both bike, maybe the tire, because I crashed a lot on the front with Michelin tire. It was a good tire, but I didn't know why, but the feeling was strange. I was very fast, but too many crashes, and I lost the confidence during this year, and I decided to finish the end of the 2008 without crashes, but I was not so fast. And that's why in 2009 was an important year for me. And before to broke my ankle in August, I was 7th in championship.
Right.
I had one podium in Donington, and it was a great season. And after my injury, it was not so easy for me, but I tried to finish the year. I finished 11 in championship. I was a little bit disappointed.
Well, yeah, last year was definitely a turnaround year for you, and I think everybody saw it. And, you know, this year is going well. And we all kind of understood that the Bridgestones probably helped you, but would you also say that your friendship and work with Eva De Maria is a big help as well?
Yeah, for me, at the end of 2009, it was important to change my, not my life, but the things to train, and I decided to work with Eve. We did a great job in 2000 during the winter 8 and 9, and I was more consistent during this year, but I was not so happy because I was slower than before, you know, because for me I wanted to be at the end of the race, and maybe even if I was a little bit slower, but this year I decided to be fast and at the end of the race. And I think it's not so bad.
Yeah, and it's definitely, trust me, from the standpoint of both a spectator and a journalist, we've definitely seen a turnaround. And there was a period where maybe some of us were, you know, scratching our heads, but now it seems like you have a great resurgence. And I believe you're currently sixth or seventh. You're sixth in the championship points so far this year.
Yeah.
That's a nice place to be, isn't it?
No, it's perfect. If I can finish at the end of the year at this place, I sign no, you know, because I have 12 factory bike, and to be in the first private bike, it's my target, and to be at the best place at the end of the championship is my target too. And but I think this year I have a good potential. I'm very confident, and we'll see. Races by races, but I think this year it can be a good year for me.
Good. Now, the satellite Hondas all seem to be a little bit different, with each team and rider selecting components from a mix of years, it seems like. But how close would you say your LCR bike is to a true factory spec? And if there is a change, what would you like to improve on it?
I don't know. I think it's small things, but not the base. It's the same like a HRC bike. Many of the HRC have some development, but we are very close to compare than last year. And we'll see. We need to improve the rear grip and traction control. We work especially in this way each test, and we did a great job after Jerez, and that's why I'm confident for this weekend.
Do you think that the limited engine role that we have this year helps or hinders you folks on the satellite teams?
I think it's a good idea for the satellite team, because the factory team can use maybe 20-40 engine for the year, but when you are on the satellite team, you are not the same budget like the official team, and I think for us it's a good help.
Yeah, and frankly, I've been very impressed with your trap times. Your top speeds are actually pretty good comparatively. This is a question that actually doesn't have anything about this weekend, but I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, are you friends with Regis Laconi?
Yeah, I'm friends with Regis. I made many training with Regis.
Okay.
And he had a very bad injury last year in the same time and the same period, but he looks well and he recovered well.
Okay, and do you know of what his plans are? A lot of the fans of our show have been asking about that.
About Regis?
Yes.
I don't know. I think he decided to stop the races because he's too dangerous now.
Sure.
But you never know. When we are a rider, maybe in 6 months he would like to restart, but for this moment, no.
Okay. All right, so about this weekend. You led a few laps around here in 2007, but that was... That was a bit of a chaotic meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, for me, the Le Mans MotoGP race is a disaster because I never do a good races, even if I lead the GP in 2007. I had not so good memory in MotoGP, very good in 250 because I did 4 podium, but never in MotoGP, and this year it's time to do a good race, because for me it's important. But the weather will be good, we have a good bike, I'm fit and I'm confident. that's why I'm confident for this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, so far you've started off with great qualifying this year. He's qualified fourth at Qatar and ninth at Jerez. A great start.
I was sixth in Jerez.
Oh, sixth in Jerez. I'm sorry,
yeah.
But it's actually going to be really warm this weekend. And it kind of makes me wonder if Bridgestone may not have a good hard enough tire to run here should the track temperatures end up being too high.
I hope, because normally here the ground temperature is around 25 degrees, and today was 40 degrees. And I think the tire will be a little bit softer, but we'll see. Everybody must use this tire, and we need to set the bike with this tire, and we will see.
Okay. Well, you know, I wish you the best of luck. You had a very interesting series of sponsors last year, and it was really fun to watch those march through. And thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you.
Best of luck.
See you. Bye-bye. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Lucio?
Yeah, I'm Lucio, yes.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Race. I just introduced myself to Randy and kind of gave him a bit, and thank you very much for the chance to do the interview, and same to Elisa. The reason I want to talk to you is because, well, you are a former MotoGP star as well, and I followed your career because I haven't been following Grand Prix racing for many, many years, but you're also a team principal now, and I know that that transition can often be kind of strange, but I have a few questions for you, too. You're like, All right, so let me just talk about your past bit. In the 125 class, you had, and correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, you had 7 wins from around 96 to 2003, right?
Right, yes.
Okay, and you finished 2 seasons 4th in points.
Yes.
Okay, and you ran, basically running your own team, but running with a fair amount of other really high-quality riders up until, and I believe you ran until 2003, is that correct? Was that your last year?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I decided to stop because Casey Stoner was growing in our team, and I said to everybody, once I will have my youngest teammate that he's beating me, then I'm going to stop.
That was essentially a quote that I was going to ask from you. You know, you basically said as a 15-year-old boy, he clocks something right off the bat, and you're like, maybe it's time to hang up the leathers, right?
Yeah. Let's say that in somehow when I decided to stop, it was because I was already 33, and then I felt the time to stop. In somehow also I developed my own team, and the team grow and helps a lot of young talent riders, and then inside, I felt that the time was fine for me to stop.
Yeah, you, in 2002, for example, you were very ambitious. You had 4 guys on your team, all of whom were, yourself included, were pretty much top riders.
Yes, it was a really tough year, but it was an unbelievable experience thanks to the support from different sponsors. We had an unbelievable good season with many podiums. And in 2003, I remember we did 16 races and 16 podiums, which was an amazing result for an independent team like our team, like LCR, yes.
Yeah, and to me, I think you guys are the premier independent team, even now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that has nothing to do with the Playboy sponsorship, mind you, which we all appreciated last year. But as the years have gone on, and you know, clearly not only has the economy but the cost of running these races picked up, but once you switch over to the MotoGP class, things really kind of tightened down a little bit. And in 2007, you ran, 2006 was the first year you ran Casey, and he came out of the box real great. I believe he scored pole in Qatar, his first race. Was that correct?
Yes. It was really, really unbelievable for us, and we were really happy because it was our first race in MotoGP, and being in pole position, we had an extreme satisfaction and good coverage. It was very, very good. Yes.
Sure. In the end, 2006 was a bit of a tough season for Casey. A lot of that could be attributed to tires, maybe quite a lot of it.
Correct.
Maybe also youthful exuberance, but I would have to say that it would be a tire situation. Casey moved on in 2007 to another team. You brought on Carlos Checa. And you also had on somebody else who is on our show all the time, was Eugene Laverty as well.
Yes. And somehow we always are in touch with Honda, and Honda UK strongly requested to Honda Japan to try to help young promises like Eugene Laverty, and we decided we collected a small budget, and we decided to let him having a world championship experience. In that period, we couldn't afford, and we couldn't have anyway access to the 250 RS factory bike.
Sure.
So we had a completely private bike with just with a small kit, and we scored points in some races. And for a debutant, was really a good season.
Sure.
And somehow we couldn't go ahead with this project because Honda decided to completely stop the development of 250 bikes, and Eugene had a great opportunity to continue his career in the World Supersport, and I believe that he showed that he was competitive in Supersport also because he did a good experience with LCR team. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I will quote you on this one because I read this to Eugene about a month ago and it made him laugh. You said, "Watching him winning in the Supersport World Championship makes me feel proud of having contributed to his growth. Eugene is a great rider, but when he drives a car, he's worse than my aunt."
Really?
I take it he may have done some damage to a hire car that you guys got for him.
Okay.
You're not going to say anything. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I do want to ask you this. Your method of gathering smaller sponsors into a larger package that can sustain a top-level satellite team is working really well. While I'm sure it takes a lot more work, it does create some really unique one-off opportunities. How are things going this year?
Well, let me say that the world of the sports sponsorship is facing a very tough period in the last years. And as you know, the first expenses which are cut off are exactly the sponsorship expenses, because it's some kind of untouchable expenses where the effect of the return of the investment is not really predictable, you know, not really measurable.
Sure.
So we had to face a very tough period, and like many times happen when you are facing tough period, you try your best to invent a new solution, to go in the market with new ideas, with new sponsorship format. And we develop a quite successful commercial policy. And at this moment, we have, instead to have one title sponsor and some co-sponsor, we have many small, medium sponsors. And for us is really, really difficult to manage everything because we have to interact with many companies. But at the end, in somehow you reduce the risk because when you have your income concentrated in one or a few big sponsors, then if you are unlucky that somebody leave you, then you can have big economical trouble. And in somehow, if somebody right now will leave us, hopefully not, then anyway, it's not a big drama for us.
It's kind of like when you're investing your own money.
Yes.
And so you want to spread out your risk, basically, is what it is. Let me ask you a question about your support from HRC this year. Are you getting what you want, and if so, is there anything more that you would like to see machinery-wise?
Let's say that the Honda policy with the satellite team changed a lot this year, thanks to the new policy introduced by Mr. Nakamoto, which is the new HRC vice president. And in somehow, I feel that we are back like in 2006, where the Casey's bike was not so different compared the bike of Danny or the others factory riders. And at this moment, we have a pretty similar MotoGP bike, and the only difference are in small areas like traction control software or some modification in the chassis. And we are receiving, let's say, some weeks later, this evolution parts, which right. allow us to maintain and to keep our competitivity and keeping very, very close our technical gap, not like before, that the bikes were completely, completely different, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I remember, just to give you an example, the Pedrosa's bike of last year or 2 years ago, it was there was no one single piece could match, could fit in our bike, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The engine was different, the chassis was different, the swing arm was different, the electronic completely different, the engine revolution was different. And this year we have same chassis, same engine, same ECU control. They have different software, they are developing some different swing arm or some different chassis, but anyway, we are receiving all the information and we can ask to go to buy these parts
right.
Some weeks later, you know, which is really...
Well, yes, you basically said that's great to be able to...
Yeah, it's great. And whenever, you know, because we are capable to do results, to make a better result for us, give us more motivation to our rider, more motivation to our team, more interest to involve new sponsors and to keep motivate our sponsor, and everything is going to, you know, in a right direction. So definitely the relationship with Honda at this moment is it's really good, and we definitely are happy because we can always communicate with Japanese staff who has a lot of experience and dealing with European people, you know, like Mr. Nakamoto, who worked for 5 years in Formula One.
Excellent. Well, yeah. I do want to ask you a question. As we know, that it's going to be pretty hot there tomorrow. Do you have any worries about tire life? What Bridgestone has brought?
I don't really know, because here this truck has a surface which are getting consumed quite quick year by year, because they are used to do 24-hour races. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
We definitely have to check the new. The actual asphalt to surface, if it's still enough aggressive or less aggressive. Normally we will have more indication on Saturday. I hope that we can have enough grip support to till the end of the race. But in somehow the fact that we have a mono tire rule and just two kind of tire per team.
Sure.
It's really make us really easy choice and a very close competitivity, because more or less we use always the same material, you know.
Right. And I guess this is the first race this year that will have the asymmetric rears as well, which should help out.
We have what asymmetric?
The asymmetric rear tire, so the different compounds on.
Exactly. Yeah, because this truck is particularly strong for the right corners, you know.
Mhm.
Yeah, so we need more support in the right. Yeah.
Okay, so my final question to you, and it's kind of a longer range looking out to the future question. If the economy picks up and if resources allow, would you enjoy going back to a two or more rider team, or are you kind of enjoying having a single rider focused team right now?
Absolutely, we wish to have two riders, and the best setup for me is to not really do another category, but possibly to have two riders in MotoGP class with one experienced rider and nearby a young talented rider ready to grow, you know?
Sure. Well, listen, Lucio, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for having Randy, and my thanks to Elisa as well, and I wish you guys great luck this weekend, and hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ciao.
Ciao. Okay, many, many thanks again to the folks from LCR for putting that together. Again, it's brutal to try and worm your way into the MotoGP press area from outside. It's great for MotoGP OD that we actually are starting to get in there. And as I mentioned before, every step that we get in is just like climbing another stair. So we will continue to try and do that and bring you more and more coverage. And as we do that, your love and assistance and appreciation is great, and keep it coming. So what else is going on? We do know we have Cadwell, the classic Cadwell race in the UK for BSB. Everybody has to love that track. It's a very tight little circuit. It'll be fun to see how the various bikes that did really well at Alton will be able to get on there, and really looking forward to that, and we'll have to see how it plans out. So, those of you that have paid attention this long, thanks for paying attention once again to MotoGP OD, and we will talk to you next week. And in fact, the plan is to, and I keep saying this, and I'm kind of slacking off, and I apologize. There is a show that I will put together early next week with the coverage from the AMA from last week, which would be the AMA at Infineon. Just haven't been able to get to it. I've done a bunch of editing, but when you're a solo person doing this flying, hard work. So I want to bring in this content. It will get to you. Have heart and keep waiting, and it will land in your hands or in your ears, as it were. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. Ciao.
MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGP OD podcast and MotoGP OD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGP OD isn't affiliated with any of them.
Enjoy MotoGP.